I wonder before I get to my thought tonight if there might be a word of testimony, anything on anyone's heart. It's in the bulletin this week, and there's a flyer on the bulletin board out here, but New Hope Missionary Baptist Church is going to have a winter revival starting next Sunday night through Wednesday night, and let's be prayerful for them. Brother Gulledge is the pastor over there, and they're having a different speaker each night. So I know that they'd appreciate the prayers, and if you're able to attend one of the nights, I'm sure that they would enjoy that. I'm going to try to attend one myself in support of that effort, so let's remember that. Let's remember the ladies' breakfast next Saturday. I didn't say anything this morning about food because I wasn't sure what to say, but I understand that usually the ladies just bring a dish, and there's usually plenty to go around, so there you have it. And we'll be taking up a love offering for the Eubanks family next Sunday morning as well. So let's remember those things. If you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to be reading from the 12th chapter. In this chapter, Jesus, as the first verse says, I'm going to begin my reading in verse 15. But in the first verse, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all," and Jesus was continuing on to preach to the people that were there. I read that and I thought, can you imagine an innumerable multitude of people, so much so that they were stepping on each other, and just so many people trying to get close to be able to hear a word from the Lord. That's just awesome. I want to begin reading in the 15th verse, and it says, "And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater there, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." I'm going to stop with my reading there. Obviously, I need some prayer tonight. It's not coming out the way I'm thinking of it out here, but I'm going to get it. We're going to persist. I'm going to take a text verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." And my thought tonight is, being that it's a new year and it's a beginning, you know, we want the best for one another. We want the best for our church. And I want us to think for a few moments tonight about, what is true success? What does it mean to be successful? And the answer to that question is depending on how a person defines success. Each one of us may have a different opinion or a different definition of what success is. So, you know, we might have a different answer to that. I personally enjoy watching our young people grow. I enjoy watching them graduate from high school. I enjoy watching them go through college and ultimately graduate from college. I'm happy for them when they get a job in their chosen profession. I'm happy for them. In fact, I'm happy for any of our members that may get a promotion at work. And, you know, is that what success is? And the answer to that is yes, that's success as some people might define success. But my thought tonight is, I believe Jesus defines it a little bit differently. And that's what I want us to explore tonight in the Word of God, because He expresses to us in the Word a correct attitude for the accumulation of wealth and what the true definition of wealth is. And, you know, life is more than the material things that we accumulate in this life. The most important thing in this life, as I always say, is the relationship that we have with the Lord. You know, Jesus says that the good life, it has nothing to do with being wealthy. When he talks about the good life, it's all about living a life in him and doing the work that he has for us to do. That's his definition of a good life, is a walk with him and an obedient walk with him and accomplishing the things that he was have us to do. And in my reading tonight, you'll notice that Jesus, he tells a parable. We have a rich man before us. How do you know he's rich? Because the scripture said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So according to his day, this man, he was a rich man. In those days, riches were not necessarily measured by how much money that a person had. You couldn't depend on money keeping its value. So what it was worth one day, it may not be worth the next day. So wealth was measured at this time by possessions. And this man, he was rich because of the ground that he owned. And the Bible says it produced. That is, the scripture said, it brought forth plentifully. It was good ground, and it was good for good crops, and it made for good crops. The rich man had more than what he knew what to do with. I guess from what we can read is his harvests were far greater than what he anticipated that they would be. And verse 17 tells us that he ran out of room. He ran out of room in the structures or the buildings that he had to be able to store his crops. So what would he do? Verse 18 tells us, this will I do. So he decided that he would pull down his barns. And he decided that he would build more barns, that he would build bigger barns, that he might be able to have enough room to store all his goods and to be able to store all his possessions that he had. And, you know, he was confident that everything was going according to his plan for his life. He felt like he was in a good place. And as he thought about this, you know, in verse 19, he basically started talking to himself. I'm going to paraphrase, but in verse 19, basically what he's saying is, boy, I've done good. And he's saying, you know, I got all this stuff, and I've been accumulating things over the years, and I've got so much stuff, you know, I can just kick back. I can just take it easy. I don't have any more worries to be concerned about. I'll just sit back, and I'll spend the rest of my life enjoying the things that I've done. And there was no doubt in his mind that he had succeeded. There was no doubt in his mind that he had made it. And I want you to notice that he didn't give credit where credit was due. You know, we as God's people, we need to understand where the things we have come from. And we need to be thankful, and we need to be gracious, and we need to be grateful for the goodness and for the blessings of God that he bestows upon our lives. This man, he didn't give credit where credit was due. He believed that what he had done all himself, that it was all him. And in my reading, did you notice all the my's that were there? You know, he said, my barns. He referred to them, my fruits and all of my goods. So in his mind, he had it all. In his mind, he had reached the top. He was just a few days away from having everything that he wanted. He was on the verge of what probably we would call today retirement. And he was ready to, as the scripture said, to take his ease, to eat, to drink, and be merry. And in speaking to someone the other day, their definition of that is different from what the Word of God says. You know, people will take God's Word and they'll twist it around to have it mean what they want it to mean. But this right here, he decided he was going to take ease, he was going to eat, drink, and he was going to be merry. And this parable, I think it describes many people in our day today. You know, what are we taught from a very young age? From a very young age, we're taught to achieve success in our lives according to the world, success is measured by our pocketbook. Success is measured by our driveways. From kindergarten, we're taught that we need an education to be successful. You can't make money and get possessions unless you have an education. And so we spend the first 22 years of our lives earning this education so that we can be successful. And that's good. I'm a firm believer in education. We should strive to do the very best that we can and achieve the things that we can in this life, as long as we're not neglecting the Lord and what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. And, you know, once we get that education, then we go into the work field. We either get a white-collar job, we get a blue-collar job with some firm, and we start working our way up the ladder, as the saying goes. We start trying to work hard and to move up and to achieve more. And in doing so, we're striving to provide for our families. Along the way, we're accumulating stuff, stuff that we may or may not need, some stuff that we might need today for something we're doing, but we may not ever touch it again because we don't need it because we're not doing that job again. But we accumulate stuff, and along the way, we accumulate wealth as well. And life is good, right? That makes for a good life. And then 30 years or so later down the road, we're sitting there and we're thinking about all that we've earned by our blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, we got the car and we got the house and we've got all the stuff that defines success. And we realize that, you know what, we're at that place just like this man was, where he was going to retire, where we can sit back and we can take it easy and we can eat, drink, and be merry. So what's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Isn't that the definition of a success? Isn't that what everybody in the world is striving for today? Some of you have already made it, and I'm happy for you. God bless you for getting to that retirement stage. And some of you, some other ones, they're in the countdown. Some are counting down how many more months they got to work. Brother Randy, he's counting down how many months he's got to go until he's done. And others are counting down the years that they've got until they're done. But they're going to get there. But is that the definition of success? Is that your definition of success? And as I said, for most of us, for most of our lives, this was. Get an education, work hard, play hard, get as many toys as you can get, build up that retirement fund, and then someday retire and enjoy the toys and enjoy the bank account. And, you know, we want to think everybody is looking at us and saying, now that person right there, they're successful. You know, we're hopeful that when we're laid in a coffin somewhere, that somebody walks by and say, that person there, he sure was successful in this life. You know, you may be saying, preacher, you make it sound like it's wrong to have stuff. And I want to be clear, it's not wrong to have stuff. It's not wrong to have an education. It's not wrong to work hard. And it's not my intention tonight to make anybody think I'm downing stuff. I'm not downing people achieving things in this life and doing the very best they can. It is not necessarily wrong to have possessions, to have an education, to have money in the bank. James, in the first chapter, in the 17th verse, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God gives us everything that we have. So possessions in themselves is not wrong. So don't have the misconception, or don't let the thought of possessions being bad, because you might miss the true meaning of what I believe this parable is about tonight. What is wrong is for possessions to have us. That's what's wrong. It's not wrong to have possessions, but it's wrong for possessions to have us. And you know, Jesus said in verse 15, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So let's make sure we get the problem of the man in this parable. Let's make sure that we get the problem of what many people are having, or what many people are experiencing today. The problem isn't the possessions. The problem is the heart. And you know, they spend their lives with their heart focused on the wrong thing. Their life has consisted of one thing. For many people, that's getting stuff and getting more stuff. They've sold their souls to the god of materialism. And we all know people like this. They can't get enough work. They can't get enough overtime. They'll work 7 days a week. And that's their life. That's their focus, because they're accumulating stuff, or they've got so much stuff, they've got to do that to be able to pay for the stuff. We all know people like this. Hopefully you're not one of those people. The bottom line in life for them is their stuff and their bank account. And nothing stands in their way of them getting more and more and more. Not family, not friends, not church, not anything is going to get in the way. They've accepted the world's definition of success, and they do everything that they can to make it. You, they may get it all, but they can't cure the problem. The problem is found in verse 20. There's no escaping the problem. The man in the parable, as well as many in life, have this problem. Possessions and success in this life, it's only temporary. We know and we understand that one day, all that stuff, it won't matter anymore. We know that one day, all that success will be gone. Everything will be gone. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 tells us, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out." One day we're going to leave this world. There's no way around that. The statistics are very clear, and they don't lie, that one out of every one person is going to die. Unless, of course, the Lord comes back, and that will change that. But if the Lord doesn't come back, one day we're all going to pass from this life. And one day our soul is going to be required of us. And we'll stand before the Lord God Almighty, and we'll give an account for our life. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians told them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." He's not going to judge us according to what we had in this life. The Lord is not going to judge us according to what our place was in this life, what prestige we had or position we had or any of those things. He's going to judge us according to what we did with our heart. And did we give our heart to Him? And was He our heart? And, you know, so the question we need to ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing with our heart? Are we giving it to the pursuit of the world? Are we giving our heart to more and more stuff? Are we giving it to acquire more money and more money in this life? Have you dedicated your life to the God of materialism? Or have you dedicated your life to the God of eternal life? And people of this world need to ask themselves that question because time is growing short. In my reading lesson tonight, what did God call this man? Called him a fool, didn't he? He called him a fool. He said he was foolish. He wasted his life on the things that didn't really matter. Yes, you have to have sustenance. Yes, you have to have food to eat. Yes, you got to have a roof over your head. But some people go to extremes. I was reading in the news that I get, I think her name is Adele. She's a singer. And she just paid $58 million for a home. $58 million for a home. And everybody's like, why would you need a house that big? Why would you need all of that? Well, I don't know, but she earns her money, and she earned the money, so she had enough to afford it. But see, that's what people get into. They're into the things of this world. You know, many of those celebrity figures, they don't just have one house. They have multiple houses. And, you know, I don't know how that works out. You spend a week here, a week there, or whatever, but you got to pay on them the whole time. But in the scripture here, it said that this man was foolish. And he wasted his life on things that really didn't matter. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, when he said, "For what does a man profiteth if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. This man and many people in this life today, they've gained the world, but they've lost their soul. And when we think about eternity, that's the problem with a lot of people today. They're not thinking about eternity. They're just thinking about this life. They're not really focused on what's going to happen after this life and the condition that they're in when they stand before the Lord. But, the question is, where is their focus? This rich man of our reading, he spent his whole life focused on himself. He obviously didn't have any time for God. And when his life was over, he found himself before the very person that he had ignored. And that's exactly as it will be for each and every individual of life. We're going to find ourselves before the Lord. As I said in the beginning, the definition of success is dependent upon your view. Whether viewed and defined by the secular world that we live in, or whether it's defined by the spiritual realm. And as we begin this new year, it's a good time for us to examine ourselves. It's a good time for us to see, where we're at in life. I tell in discussions with some of our brothers and sisters here, how we receive God's word makes all the difference in the world. If we receive God's word for it to help us to mature, if we receive God's word for to better understand his promises, if we receive God's word to better understand what his will is for our life and the direction according to God's word, we'll be able to get something out of it. If we receive the message, I'm talking about when the preacher's preaching the message, if we perceive the message in a negative way, we're not going to get any of those benefits. There's not a preacher that I know of, including myself, that preaches the message to condemn people. If the message condemns them, it's not because the preacher's preaching it that way. It's because the Word of God condemned you for whatever's going on in your life. I can tell you that this preacher preaches these things from God's Word for us to see where we're at. I want nothing more than for God's people to be as close to God as they can, to be in the center of God's will, as I always say, and in an intimate relationship with him along the way. And that's what Paul was saying when he was speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." And he said, "Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." The Corinthians were to examine themselves to see if they were really Christians. We have to know where we're at in our relationship with the Lord. We can't be confused about that. We're either saved or we're not saved. And if a person is confused about that, they need to be talking to the Lord. And they need to be asking God to reveal it to them and to show them where they stand in relationship with him. I think about all of us, I guess, probably we have physical checkups. All of us at some point, we go to a doctor, they take the blood pressure and take the temperature and they weigh us, and then they come in and they talk to us, and if we've got medical issues, they prescribe pills for us. And, we're faithful. We're faithful to go to those appointments, and we're faithful to receive the medication, and we're faithful to take the medication as they prescribed it. And what Paul is saying is we need to give ourselves spiritual checkups as well. And whatever the medicine is, we need to take it, and we need to take it often. What are we looking for? We should be looking for a growing awareness of Jesus' presence and his power in our lives. We should desire that. We should want that. We should ask for that. And we should be looking for it. And if we're not taking active steps to grow closer to the Lord, we're not standing still. We're drawing farther away from him. And that's not what we want. We want to be moving forward toward the Lord. We don't want to be moving backwards. What's the most important thing in your life right now? Scripture tells us it's based on our hearts. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, he said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So where is your heart right now? That's Wherever your heart is right now, that's what you're pursuing for success. Wherever it's at right now. And I hope that it's in Christ. Is Christ or is Jesus the most important thing in your life right now? If not, according to the scriptures tonight, you're living a foolish life. I don't want to live a foolish life. I want to live a life for the Lord. And one day, everything that I have, everything that you have, is going to be left behind, as I shared earlier. We brought nothing in, or we're taking nothing out. Somebody else is going to have it. And you'll stand before God with nothing in your hands. For some, they'll stand before God with nothing in their heart. I'm glad that I'll stand before the Lord with the Spirit of God in my heart because I've got an experience of salvation. How sad it will be for many to stand before the Lord, as a song we sing, unprepared to meet thy God. Understand, I'm not preaching tonight against prosperity. I know that we've got a lot of what are termed prosperity preachers. I'm not preaching against prosperity tonight. You may have plenty of toys, and you may have a lot of stuff and a lot of money. If you do, good for you. And I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for the comforts that God has allowed you to have in your life. But I want us to be clear to the fact that the greatest thing that you can have in this life is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. True success is a relationship with Jesus and living for Him. That's true success. True success is living all of eternity in the presence of the Lord, for which the Bible says there's only one way. That way is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As my text said, it said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. This statement, I believe, is the key to spiritual growth and for personal fulfillment. We should honor God, and we should center our lives around Him. We should be content with what God is doing in our lives, anticipating what He's going to do in our lives tomorrow. God wants to use His people. And what He's using us for today may not be what He has for us to be used for tomorrow. He may have something else that He wants us to do. And then we need to be, as Lisa's song, I like that song. That's the first time I heard that song. I'm looking forward to hearing it again, either from you or on the radio. But, you know, before He even asks, yes, here am I, send me. What a powerful, powerful song. My prayer for all of us in 2022 is that we will be successful in drawing nearer, drawing closer to the Lord in our faith and in our walk with the Lord. My prayer for 2022 is that we'll be successful in our studies of God's Word, and that He'll give us clear understanding of the things that His Word says to us so that we can apply those teachings to our lives and then not only benefit from them ourselves as God's Word speaks to us, encourages us, blesses us, uplifts us, but also prepares us and makes us ready to be able to share with others that it might have an impact on their lives, that they can get to this place of knowing the Lord and Him being the most important thing in their life. And I truly believe tonight if we can get to that place, the result will be great gain in many areas of our life. And we'll be able to say that I was successful, I succeeded in my work and efforts for the Lord, in my love for the Lord. And it'll be a wonderful thing when we stand before the Lord and give account of ourselves, and He hands out the rewards and the crowns for what we've done. I imagine there will be people out that day who don't have any. They got saved, and that was it. Didn't do anything else for the Lord. There won't be any rewards or crowns. I don't know if I'll have any. I've been trying to do for the Lord for most of my life. I'm hoping that there might be a crown or a reward or two. But we should be striving to do great things to give honor and glory to God. And I pray that this year we can do that. And you may say, well, preacher, I did that all last year. God bless you. Can you do better this year? Can you get closer? Can you achieve more? I believe we can. And we're all at different places and different walks of life. Never be satisfied. Never be content in that place. And we can succeed and be successful for the Lord in the things that He would have for us to do. That's my message tonight. I hope that it does encourage you. And I wish you all much success and prosperity, not only in the things of this life, but particularly in what God has for you in your life. Any word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close tonight?